Good evening, and welcome to Rowan University Radio WGLS. I'm your host, Douglas Mapp, and we're here for another 2 hours of the growth and development of jazz. This evening, we'll be talking about and listening to the music that is called many things: post-bop, the avant-garde, free jazz, third stream. All this music is an outgrowth of what has come before it, so it is important to view the landscape with a little bit of hindsight to see what we are about to build upon or, in some cases, leave behind. I'm going to stick to the terms free jazz and avant-garde for this evening's discussion, although third stream and post-bop are used interchangeably for some of this music. Free jazz, most people will refer to a body of music as free jazz and keep it at that. I'm going to start off with the avant-garde. In one way, all of the music that we have studied spent some time being the new thing, so to speak, the front edge of something new. In the case of music, we have a number of things that start to happen. In some case, the music that we're going to listen to, all of the forms that we're used to are in place. Tunes have melody, a set of chord changes, along with a rhythm section outlining the harmony and the rhythm. What we find new is how the musicians combine either the written material along with improvised section, or how they use melody altogether. You know, we're used to music that's been based off major scales and the notes relating to each other in some singable fashion. We're going to now find that the things that are called melodies are things that we, if left to our own ear, might say some of these are mistakes. In other cases, the tune structure that we know, verse, chorus, is abandoned altogether for some extended compositional formats. You know, some of this music is going to sound kind of symphonic in nature because it's through composed, the music of Charles Mingus. Some of the people that we're going to be listening to today and talking about today would include Ornette Coleman, Charles Mingus, Sun Ra, the World Saxophone Quartet, Cecil Taylor, and to a lesser degree, even John Coltrane, Bill Evans, Miles Davis. For example, the Bill Evans Trio from the late 50s and early 60s, a trio that had Scott LaFaro in it, they really changed the way that musicians that were playing traditional music, they were playing standards from the American song repertoire, how this music got performed changed dramatically after this group and others group like it started playing the music. Instead of the traditional play the melody and then have a person soloing with two accompanists, what these guys did was after they played the melody, and sometimes it was even hard to tell who was the soloist when we were playing the melody, when a soloist started playing, the two other musicians, while they were backing them up, were constantly commenting musically on the solo. So at times, it was very difficult to tell who was actually soloing. If you look at some of the transcriptions of Scott LaFaro's bass lines from the period that he was playing with this group, the bass lines look like solos themselves. The bass lines are very melodic. The other things that happen in some of these groups is that instead of having a strict structure with regard to rhythm, you know, like in the swing era, even in the cool era, and in the hard bop era, it was normal that once a tune started at a given tempo and rhythmic feeling that it wouldn't change. What we're going to find now is very often that is not a requirement. Very often these tunes are going to start at one tempo and then dramatically change tempo more than once throughout a single composition. All right, we're going to start off with the music of Ornette Coleman, and we're going to be talking to about his avant-garde music first because he was very important in the free jazz movement. So we're talking about his music from about 1959, and then in the second hour, we're going to listen to one of his landmark recordings from 1961 called Free Jazz. This first tune we're going to hear is called Lonely Woman. It has a short introduction and then a melody played by the sax and trumpet. They're accompanied by the drums and bass. When you're listening to this, listen to how the bass player is playing. He's playing kind of an ostinato pattern, but he's playing more than one note at a time, double stops in some cases. The music goes along in a traditional fashion, but the note choices, as I mentioned before, seem a little bit off when we're hearing it for the first time. We then have some solos, so that's pretty traditional. We have the introduction, the melody, some solos before the tune ends. The tune has a very harmonic structure that's hard to follow because it's not something that moves the way we're used to tunes moving. You know, I talked last week a little bit about John Coltrane and him coming up with these chords that moved in distances that we weren't used to. Well, this music moves in a way that's even harder to follow because there's no piano letting us know when the changes sound. The next tune we're going to play is called Eventually. The melody to this tune sounds a lot like a bebop head, but then they seem to just play. Again, there is a form, but it's difficult to pick out. Listening to the bass line is going to help on this tune. You'll notice that the bass player every now and then goes back to one rhythmic figure that happens at a certain point in the melody. This recording's from 1959, as I said, and had quite an impact on a lot of musicians. There's a story behind when this band came to L.A. that Charlie Hayden tells. You know, at the time, all the musicians in this band were living in Los Angeles, and Ornette Coleman would have these guys come over his house for days, and they would just get together and play some of this music. Well, when they came east to play in New York City, Charlie Hayden set up his bass, and they started playing, and when Charlie Hayden looked up, he noticed that all of his idols, Charles Mingus and Ron Carter and all of these other heavyweight jazz musicians, were in the audience listening to this music. Before I start talking about something else, I want to play these first two cuts so that we can be thinking about some these things while we're listening to it. So this is the Ornette Coleman Quartet performing Lonely Woman and Eventually. I'll tell you, the other musicians in the band were Charlie Hayden on the bass, Don Cherry on the pocket trumpet and cornet, and Ed Blackwell on the drums.
Thank you.
Ornette Coleman. We're going to move away from Ornette for just a little bit. We're going to have to come back to him when we're talking about free jazz because he is one of the icons in that movement. But I want to move to another saxophonist who had a big impact on this avant-garde scene as it was moving away from the post-bop tradition. That's a guy named Albert Eiler. We're going to first listen to his tune called Omega. Then we're going to take a break, and then I'll do a little bit of talking about Albert Eiler and the effect of some of the things that he brought to music had on the music that was developing. So this is Albert Eiler and Omega.
Hey,